The following message was given by Brother Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, March 19th, 2017. The title of the message is The Wings of an Eagle, the Hands of a Man, and the Feet of a Calf. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, Psalms chapter 17, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
Lord Jesus, we love you. We like to tell you that we love you. And we also love your word. We thank you for your word. Oh, your word is our life supply. Your word is the bread. Oh, your word is the light. It's light for our path. Oh, we thank you for your living and operative word. We do pray that by your word you would supply your church. Amen. Oh, for our going on with you. Amen. Lord, we're here at your feet. Amen. Oh, listening to your word. Amen. We love you, Lord. Amen. 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 Saints, the Lord's word is really inexhaustible and also so applicable to wherever we are. And the Lord speaking in the church is always so timely. These two verses or portions have been with me, very familiar, I believe, to most of us here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Right? That the man of God may be complete and fully equipped for every good work. All scripture. That's all scripture. Meaning all scripture. Meaning all the verses, everything in God's word, Old Testament, New Testament. And we're in the book of Ezekiel these days. The Lord has led us to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is God-breathed. Amen. Ezekiel 1, chapter 1, is God-breathed. You know, the more that we study Ezekiel 1, we realize the Lord's word is inexhaustible. And I don't know that after these many weeks among us studying, who would dare say, oh yeah, now I got it. I understand. Actually, we enjoy a lot. And we understand some. But I tell you, these are mysterious things. And especially when we're focusing now these few messages on these that are called the four living creatures. There's a lot of mystery involved. Yet, I say, so applicable to wherever we're at. And then, that's one portion. The other portion, also I think well known to many saints, is in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. And that is that let us therefore come forward to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace for timely help. I've been very encouraged with this word timely. Timely help. You know, these days, actually for this prolonged period of time, the church here has been passing through a kind of transitional stage. And through this time, there have been sometimes some feeling among some saints of even uncertainty, questioning how will we pass through this period of time, especially as our dear senior brothers pass the baton on. They keep saying they want to pass on the baton. And actually, saints, I can tell you this kind of transition or this kind of experience is being experienced in quite a number of the churches throughout the Lord's recovery. We're not the only ones passing through something like this, but we're passing through our experience here. Yet at the same time, our brothers declared very strongly that this is not a time of retrenchment, amen, but it's a time of advancement and a time of enlargement. Advancement and enlargement. And on top of this, or alongside this, all the saints, we all have our experiences. And quite a number of the saints we know are passing through various trials. Actually, some great trials. Quite a number of the saints, and we are passing through with them. Of course, really, all of us have our personal situations, our personal trials. Sometimes we have trials in our families. Sometimes we have trials in our workplace. And for all of these experiences, we need the timely help. You know, another way to, another translation of Hebrews 4:16 is, and may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. And saints, His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is sufficient for us to pass through, as the church, this particular time. And to pass through, each of us, our particular trials and situations. And I do feel that particularly this portion, even these few verses that we're in this week, really, really are the Lord's express word. His special word for this time and for this place. For this time and for this place. You know, this week we are focusing on these verses that highlight these characteristics of the four living creatures. They are the wings of the eagle. The wings of the eagle. And very, very interesting that there are two sets of wings. Four wings. Yeah, four wings. So there are wings for flying, and there are wings for covering. The wings of an eagle. And then it says that beneath the wings, you see the hands of a man. The hands of a man. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Why would God give such a vision to Ezekiel? And then why would the Spirit lead Ezekiel to write this way, to highlight this particular characteristic? And then the feet of a calf. The feet of a calf. I told the saints last week, 2 weeks ago, I was in the Bronx with the saints there. Praise the Lord for the district in the Bronx. Amen. Well, I hope you have some blending. We have some blending with them. But I told the saints there, you know, I was listening to their sharings and their testimonies, and they were talking that day about the verse with the faces, and oh, the ox, and oh, the eagle, and so on. And I told them, my, if a new one would step into this meeting, uninitiated, unprepared, and then hear your testimonies Oh, I need to be more of an ox. Oh, this week I experienced the eagle. I said, oh my. What impression would such a new one have of our meeting? They might think, what kind of a church? What kind of a church is this? But it's good. It's good that we read the verses beforehand. And also when we share, we shouldn't take for granted, saints. We shouldn't take for granted that everyone in the meeting heard the same message that you did. Sometimes our speaking needs to have a little more flesh on the bone concerning some of these things, so that the new ones are not lost. But what are these? Why this such a vision? And why does the word highlight these three characteristics? The wings, and two sets of wings. And then it's interesting, the wings cover, but but the hands still show. And when you see the hands, they're not claws. Praise the Lord. They're not claws. You know, claws. Because if it's an eagle has claws. My, if I would go say hello to Timothy, oh, and a claw, that I don't think you'd want to shake my hand, right? But it's the hands of a man. Thank the Lord for that. But what is that? What is that? And then the feet of a calf. Feet of a calf. Well, before getting into that, though, and I think many of the saints will fill in your speaking, I'd just like to take a few minutes first that we would take a step back and look at the whole vision. Look at the whole vision. Look at the whole chapter, just very quickly, so that we can see where this fits in. And what do you see there? What do you see? Of course, you have to read through the whole chapter, but ultimately what we see is a throne. There's a throne. And the whole chapter leads you to the throne. Behind everything, God is on the throne. God is on the throne as the source of everything. But very interesting that the one on the throne, we know it should be God, but he has the appearance of a man. He has the appearance of a man. And then that's above. That's above. There's a throne. But on the earth, there's a high and awesome wheel. Actually, there are four wheels. There are wheels on the earth. A big, awesome wheel next to these four living creatures. And then it says, wherever the spirit was to go, the four living creatures went. And as soon as the creatures went, the wheels moved with them. And they moved like lightning. And then every now and then they would stop and they'd put their wings down and they'd listen to the one speaking from the throne. That's the picture. That's the whole picture. What does that show us? What does that show us? In a very simple way, what that shows us is, first, God is the source. And he's in the heavens. But on the earth, he has a move. He wants to have a move. That is the implication of these wheels. Of course, we're going to get into that very much this coming week. But he has these wheels. You know, wheels are for moving, right? Wheels are for transportation. I believe most of us, unless you live in the neighborhood, got here this morning by wheels. Probably four wheels, right? Mostly. I came on more wheels than four because I took a subway. Many more wheels, but still wheels. Wheels are for moving, right? Wheels are for moving. So God has a move, but this move is an impressive move. It is awesome. It is high. You know, there's, we'll see this more this coming week. You know, we are not so much. Each of us is small. Each of us is small. In Revelation 3, it says, you have a little strength. You have a little power. Saints, we all have a little power, but God's move is high and awesome, and we have a part in it. But this is my point. The wheels are not unveiled until we have this entity of this four living creatures. There must be these four living creatures produced before God can have his move on the earth. You know, the Lord raised up the disciples, the apostles, and they walked with him. At a certain time, they asked him, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And what did he say? Of course, you know, he gave us a pattern of prayer that we don't have any record that the disciples actually, there's no record of that repeating that prayer verbatim, the way it's recited in some places. But that's the pattern of our prayer. There are principles in this prayer that we need to follow. And what is this? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, his desire is to bring something from heaven to earth. Something from heaven to earth. And that is his purpose. And that is his move. But for that to happen, he must have some on the earth praying. There must be some who are praying this into being, that are cooperating with the one on the throne. And the Lord operates by this principle of incarnation. And without man's cooperation, it seems he will not operate. That's his principle. And this is consistent with Ezekiel chapter 1. God wants to have his move symbolized by those wheels. But the wheels cannot exist until you have the four living creatures, until you have this entity. And then the question is, how do we experience that, to have those characteristics of those four living creatures? Because it seems that unless we have that, God cannot move. So saints, if we want the Lord to move on the earth, we must have the experience of the wings. The experience of the wings of an eagle. If we want God to move on the earth, we have to have the hands of a man. And if we want God's move to be prevalent on the earth, we must have the experience of calves' feet. So that when this is produced, then the wheels will follow. Then God has a way to move through you. Whether it be in your office, whether it be on your campus, whether it be to your neighbor or to your relatives. How can the Lord have a way to move through us? We have to have the wings, we have to have those hands, and we have to have the calves' feet. Right? Now, what is this, the wings? You know, the first time that the eagle is mentioned in the scripture is this verse that we read in Exodus. I think we have enjoyed this verse quite much over this last year and so on, because we were in Exodus, and now in touching the four living creatures, this verse seems to come up a lot. But it says that the Lord carried the children of Israel. He was telling his people, "I carried you as on wings of an eagle." And so this is a symbol. It shows us the Lord's grace, his strength, and his power. The Lord's grace, his strength, and his power applied to us. When we have the experience of grace, I think many of us can testify That grace became our strength. And that grace became our power to face whatever situation that we were in. You know, it's not a matter of just saying so lightly, oh, brother, come on, enjoy the Lord. It's not so superficial. When we pass through experiences, we need the all-sufficient grace. But that grace, for that grace, it says in Hebrews, we have to come forward. We have to come forward. I enjoyed so much this morning the first section of the Lord's table. I think it's hymn 1051. Yeah. 1051. And this hymn, I think many of us enjoyed this. It begins this way. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. I hear thy welcome voice. Oh, dear saints, all the time, all day, day by day, there is a voice calling us to come forward. You know, 1 Corinthians 1 says that he has called us into the fellowship of his Son. All the time, the Lord is calling us, calling us. Sometimes, though, we get very occupied by the situation. And we only see what is before us. We only see what is before us. It seems sometimes we forget that grace is even available. And this situation, this kind of situation, actually causes us to be anxious, causes us to be discouraged, causes us to be downhearted. But dear saints, we need to hear his welcome voice. In the midst of every situation, he's calling us. Come forward to the throne of grace. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Could we look at the last verse, 2 Corinthians? Yeah. Let's read this verse again. And he has said to me,
my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness.
Amen. When we come forward in the midst of the situation and we enjoy the Lord's grace and we enjoy him as our grace, I think many can testify. That grace, on one hand, was our inner enjoyment, but somehow it became our overshadowing power. It became actually a protection to us. We felt like that grace was a haven, was like a refuge, and we were safe. We were safe. We were hidden there. I so much enjoyed the verses that were supplied this week in the Psalms concerning the wings. Concerning the wings. We read one of them, but it talks about, oh, hide me in the shadow of your wings. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. How can we have that experience? By coming forward to the throne of grace. By coming to the Lord in our spirit as the throne of grace. And saints, you know, for when I was younger, I was really puzzled about these pairs of wings. I didn't understand this so much. Why do these four living creatures have these two pairs of wings? And of course, the wings, we can see, have two functions. Two functions. One is for flying, and the other is for covering. But in nature, what we see with the birds is you can only do one or the other. You can't do both at the same time. But thank the Lord that in the spiritual realm, we can have two sets of wings. That means what? You can move, but be protected at the same time. You know, sometimes when we're moving, when we're serving, Oh, it's a little dangerous because we become exposed. We put ourselves out there a little bit too much. We need to fly covered. We need to be one with the Lord's move. We're not in a stage of retrenchment. We're in a stage of advancement. So the Lord is moving on. And thank the Lord for this recent move to the Bronx. And let's not forget, last year, this move to Rosendale, the beginning of a new lampstand there, and they're growing there. Thank the Lord. There's many things going on. And next month, actually, we have a series of meetings on, what is it, October 8th. We have a blending for the brothers on, April 8th. April 8th, we have a blending time for the brothers. On April 22nd, we have a blending time for the sisters, and many things. But saints, as in the many activities and in our much service, we always have to be covered. We always have to be protected. We need the Lord's grace to become our overshadowing power. And saints, no matter what the church is going through, the church will continue to fly. The church will continue to go on. But at the same time, He's protecting us. He's covering us, right? He is our refuge. This is for the whole church, and this is also for each one of us. When we have this experience, the Lord can still advance through us. We can still have the reality of those awesome wheels. Amen. Then, the hands of a man. I think a number of saints enjoyed this, and I've heard this in fellowship this week. What does this imply? This implies that, you know, although there are so many things that are mysterious about the four living creatures, yet the hands are for our doing in our daily life. And it is important, saints, it is important. No matter how spiritual we are, in our daily life, we have to be very human. And we have to take care of all the affairs, of all the responsibilities in a very human and proper way. No young person should say, maybe it's Saturday afternoon and they're on their way to the meeting and their mother says, so-and-so, I told you, you need to clean your room. You need to take out the garbage. Oh, to say, no, but I'm going to the meeting. I'm for the Lord. The meeting comes first. Well, that's not the right time to say the meeting comes first. You should be very proper. You should be very human and take care of all the responsibilities. At our workplace, we should have the proper human relationships. Right? At school, with our professors, with our fellow classmates, we should always have the proper human relationships. Else, we hinder the great wheel. We hinder the great wheel. We may pray for our classmates. We might pray for our relatives. But if we don't have a proper testimony in front of them, how will the great wheel come to them? Actually, on one hand, we're praying. On the other hand, we are interrupting the Lord's being able to meet them. We must have the proper testimony. We must have the proper testimony. And we must have the proper humanity. You know, with the children in the children's meeting, we must take this opportunity to build up within them the proper humanity. The proper humanity. You know, and in the age in which our children are growing up, Satan is attacking in this one thing, maybe more than anything, to damage humanity. To damage humanity. In our society today, Satan is attacking the proper humanity. We must build up in our children, to build up in our children the proper humanity for the Lord's ultimate move. Okay, then finally, we have the feet of the calf, the feet of the calf. You know, there's actually a few things you could say about that, because it talks about it's being, it's straight, you know, the foot of the calf is straight. This was brought out in the message that was given. And they're also shining because they're like brass. But I just want to highlight two things. You know, the calf's feet are hooved. Is that the way to say? Huh?
Cloven.
Yeah, they have hoofs. Right. The hoofs are those. Okay. The hoofs have are cloven. The hoofs are cloven. That means they're split. That means they're split. And in Leviticus, it talks about that the clean animals are the ones that have the cloven feet. And of course, something with our feet must refer to our walk, right? To our walk. So we must have a walk that is what? With discernment. Right, we have to have a walk that is with discernment. How can we have the proper discernment? Really, it's only by the Word. You know, because the Word itself, the Word of God, discerns the soul from the spirit. The more we are filled up with the Word, the more proper discernment we will have in our daily life. Especially, we will be very sensitive to the sense of life and peace, and the sense of death. What are the things that bring death to us? What are the things that bring death into our family life? What are the things that bring death into our group meeting? What are the things that would bring death into the church life? We'd have the discernment. And what are the things of life? What are the things that will feed? What will feed? And even in our daily living, we need the proper discernment. You know, in Leviticus 11, where this matter is brought up, it's talking about the eating of certain animals, and in the book of Acts, where we see the example of Peter, where he sees that vision of that big cloth with all the animals. And then the Lord tells him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And actually later, he figures out that what the Lord is telling him, that this refers to his contact with the Gentiles, with people. So what this means to us is that as we contact people, we're eating. We're taking them in. We're taking something of them in. Saints, in our daily walk, we need the proper discernment in our contact with people. Oh, I say this very strongly to the young people, to the college students, on your universities, in your schools, when you contact even the professors. Yeah, you're there for a purpose. You're there to learn. But you have to have the right discernment. What to take in and what not to take in. Because what if you, as it says in the book of Colossians, take in the philosophies of the age, be very careful. Your Christian life could be bankrupt because of your lack of discerning. Even, I'll make this link, even some of the philosophies of the age today ruin our humanity. Ruin man's humanity. So we have to have the discernment in our daily walk. If we do, this gives the Lord the opportunity to move wherever we are. Saints, wherever the Spirit moved in Ezekiel 1, the four living creatures went. And as soon as the creatures went, those wheels lifted up off the ground, they went with them. When we have these characteristics in our daily living, when we have the wings, when we're soaring like the eagle. You know, I didn't mention this, but I think many of the saints enjoyed this. That you know, the eagles, they don't flap their wings. Eagles soar. Eagles soar. I mean, they have to do something, but majority of the time when you see them, they are soaring in the current. Soaring in the current. Not like smaller birds that they have to flap their wings all the time. So what does that mean? That means that this grace, which is really the resurrection life, doesn't require our self-effort. Amen. We can just soar like the eagle by the experience of grace. And saints, when we do, the wheel has a way to move in your office. There's a way for God to do something in your school. There's a way for God to do something with your neighbors or your relatives. Also, when we have the proper hands, the proper human testimony before man, that also affords the wheels a way. That affords the Lord a way to move in our situation. And finally, when we have the proper feet, the proper discernment, then this paves the way for the Lord to have a move on this earth. So saints, so much is tied to our experience of grace and our enjoyment in the Word. If we have the enjoyment in the Word daily, this will be our supply. And in whatever situation, again, whatever situation we're passing through, we will have the grace inwardly and we'll have the strength. And then that grace becomes the overshadowing power to protect us. It will be our refuge and our haven. Then we can have the boldness to move on in the Lord's move. Amen. I'll say that much. I think you'll say something. Sure. About 3:12. Yeah. Wouldn't sing now or? Yeah. Okay. Let's sing 312 to close. And then. Yeah, and then the saints in the language groups can go. So let's sing hymn number 312, as the mics are set up and the saints in the different language groups go to their rooms. 312.